How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Okay. I'm getting there. Let's see your bulletins. Okay. Let's see your pens. Okay. See your Bibles? Word. Very good. Turn to, yes, it sounds great. Turn to Hebrews 11. That's what it was. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1 is going to be our memory verse. It's also going to be our verse for the sermon today. Hebrews 11, 1. I have a question. Was this the service that I asked if you wanted to go on an all-night prayer meeting? Okay, keep praying about that. We're going to have a warm-up 5-hour deal, I think, in January. And one of the issues is a location. And we're hoping to have a location. We have not forgotten about it. And we were talking about it. And we had already planned a 5-hour deal in January. I believe it's in January. So we'll do that first. Then we'll go to the all-night thing. And then we have something else after that that we will challenge you into do that. And I'll put this out to you, and we're going to have to see how we'll do this legally. But I don't know what I was doing the other day, and thought came to my mind is to live on the street for 2 or 3 days with no money, no food, and just go live on the street. And I said, you know, if we had that at our church, we probably have a whole bunch of people want to do it. And so we may do that once we get our new place, and we'll have a little home base, but we'll just leave there and go for 3 days and walk on the street, and you have no food, no water, nobody come bring you any burgers, and just be homeless for 3 days. So it's just like going out in the wilderness, except you're doing it in the city. It could be dangerous, so we got to figure out how to do it where it could be, you know, semi-safe. But I always was interested in what that would be like and how your faith would change doing that. So, but the all-night prayer thing. Anybody be interested in being homeless for 3 days? Okay, I got some. I just, maybe y'all think I'm, you know, I ain't doing this, but, you know, it's crazy. But I know something good will come out of it. But we are still thinking about and planning the all-night prayer thing, absolutely, and I haven't forgotten about it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for being God. We thank you that it's not our job to be God. It's not our job to try to take your place. It's our job to obey and trust you. And I pray that you would give people clear instruction tonight on how to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. About 4 or 5 days ago, I was at a field. I drove down to the park to go running. I was sitting in the car. I didn't want to run, so I was sitting in the car kind of thinking of reasons why I shouldn't run. And kind of just, I don't want to get out of the car. And I was just being lazy and just whining. And while I was sitting in the car, these kids from the junior high right behind my house were running around this field where I was going to run. So I was watching these kids, and it's about 3/10 of a mile around. It's a big, gigantic field. And the kids were spread out all around the field because the fast ones were in the front and the slow ones were in the back. Well, it just so happened that right as I was getting ready to get out the car, the last of the line were these two girls. And not because they were girls, because they were girls up front, okay? But there just so happened to be two girls in the back. And two kind of girls that, you know, there's some girls that just don't want to have anything to do with athletics. These kind of girls. That's not all girls. It's just these two girls. They don't want to get their hair messed up. They don't want to get, you know, gym. Those kind of girls. So they were standing in front of my, they were walking in front of my car. Everyone else was running. They had to run a 1/2 mile and get timed. And all around the other side of the field was this kid. And he was in first place. And he was running. And they looked at him and went. just like, what's up with him? You know, he was just, he's way on the other side of the field because they had to go all the way around, and he was in the home stretch, and he was booking. Boom, boom. And they just looked in disgust. And then they started running again. As Christians, we look at other Christians who are out there running. Miracles are happening. Their prayers are getting answered. They're never, when bad things happen, they have the peace of God. They have the joy of God. They seem to always be blessed. They're always saying, praise the Lord. And you hate them. Right? They just always blessed. They never have any problems. And oh, I just can't stand them. How come they're always blessed? Do we all know someone like that? And you wonder, why can't I be over there running like that? Why can't I have faith, a Christian life like that? And what we're going to talk about today is the reason why, and it's the word I just slipped out of my mouth, faith. Faith. If you have faith, you can be on the other side running. But if you have no faith, you'll be in the back of the line looking jealous, mad. Mad at God, mad at other people, resenting God. How come he doesn't bless me? It's because of faith. So this week, in the next 3 weeks from now, up until December 23rd, rest of this month, we're going to talk about faith. We just finished a series on prayer. If you weren't here, we did about 8 weeks on prayer. Prayer, if through prayer you get power, faith is the key to turn on the car. If through prayer you get power, you need to write this down, okay? Thank you very much. If through prayer... If through prayer you get power, faith is the key to turn on the engine. Faith is the key. Faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance or substance of things hoped for and the conviction or evidence of things not seen. Can you see me? No, you can't? Look up here then. Someone said no. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. I mean, the substance of things hoped for, the conviction, I want something, but the evidence of how you're going to get it is unseen. It's unknown. It's not comprehended. It has not been revealed to you. Faith is God dependence, and God dependence comes when self-dependence ends. You cannot depend on yourself and walk by faith. You can't. You have to depend on God. And because there's an unseen part to it, when God tells you to walk by faith, which is always, you will always have something you don't understand. This is where God separates the boys from the men, the women from the girls. He got all the Christians lined up, and he says, the only people that are going to follow me are the people who trust me, because I'm not going to tell you the whole story. God will never tell you the whole story if faith is involved. God will never tell you the whole story if faith is involved. God will never tell you the whole story if faith is involved. So if you're sitting there thinking, I need to do this, I need to do this, but I need more information, forget it. Watch this. How many people, let me ask the question and then raise your hand, be honest. How many people right now you feel God is telling you to do something, or you know you should be doing something, or you know you should stop doing something, and you know it in your heart, and you're struggling with it, but you know God's telling you to do it, but you're struggling with it. How many right now? Ooh, but look at all those, look at all you people in sin right now. I'm only kidding. You're only in sin if you know he's telling you to do it, and you're telling him no. So if you haven't done it yet, that means you're probably telling them no. That means you better do it. Okay? Now, watch this. The Bible says it's impossible to have salvation without faith. Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. The Bible says it's impossible to have pleased God without faith. Hebrews 11:6, with faith it's impossible to please God. The Bible says it's impossible to resist the devil. Ephesians 6:16, it says, take up the shield of faith with which you are able to extinguish the flaming missiles or darts of the evil one. When the devil starts throwing darts at you, fiery darts, you're a liar. You're ugly. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to get married. You're never going to be as successful. You're a failure. When the devil starts shooting those darts at you, you put up your shield of faith and say, no, I believe God loves me. He's going to take care of me. No, I believe God is never going to leave me or forsake me. No, Jesus died for me. That's how, by faith. We all hear those negative things. We all hear those negative things all the time. All the time. The Bible says it's impossible to pray without faith. Everything you ask in prayer, believing by faith, you shall receive. The Bible says it's possible to have peace with God without faith. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God. And you can go on and on and on to the break of dawn. You have to have faith. You have to have faith. Okay, so faith is critical. Now, here's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. We're going to give an overview today. In the next 3 weeks, this is going to change your life. I want you to write down R here, R, the letter R, and then about halfway down, write an A, and then about a little few more lines down, W. What does that spell? Raw. We're going to talk about raw faith. Raw, straight up, raw faith. Now, today we're going to give raw faith. Next week we're going to talk about the R. The week after that we're going to talk about the A. And the week after that we're going to talk about the W. Okay, R, right? The R. R means rely on God. Rely on God. And please write this down right next to that, underneath that. Faith is based on facts. Faith is based on facts. Let me tell you something. Faith is not based on your feeling. It's not based on your experience. It's based on facts. And the facts are right here. Simple. So let's give you an example. You're walking down the street. You see a $10 bill. What do? Pick it up. Very good. What do you do after you pick it up? Put it in your pocket. What do you do after that? Yeah, I'll spend it. Go shopping, okay? Then what do you do after that? Eat it? Eat it? You eat what you bought with it. Is that what you said? Well, okay, what if you bought like a shirt? Oh, you wouldn't buy that. You go to Starbucks. Okay, I got you. Okay, but back up. You're walking down the street. You see a $10 bill. You do this, right? Don't you look around? Am I telling the truth? You look around. You put it in your pocket real quick so no one sees you. And then what do you do? Before you go shopping, what do you do? Before you tithe, before you praise God, before you eat it, what? You cheated. You were here already. You look for another one. Right? Don't you? You don't lie. You pick it up and you go like this and then you start doing this. Can I get an amen if I tell you the truth? Guess what? Just because you found one $10 bill does not mean you're going to find another one. Your experiences change. This does not. You put your faith in the facts of God's word. That's what you put your faith in. You do not put your faith in people. People will let you down. You put your faith in the person of Christ, the God-man. You put your faith in his word. You put your faith in what his Holy Spirit says to you, period. That's it. So if you're wondering, you know, I just have faith and I have faith, so I'm going to take this risk. That's not faith. That's superstition or stupidstition. That's not faith. When I was a kid, we used to go upstate New York. I grew up in Long Island. We used to go about 2 hours in the mountains, up 2.5 hours. Where my grandparents lived, they had 100 acres, and on that land was a stream. It was about 20 feet wide. Had fresh water. It was beautiful. Trout and all stuff. And when we used to go out of the house in the morning, me and my brothers, my father would say one thing, don't get wet. That was it. You can do anything you want. You can't break anything. There's nothing out there but trees, rocks, and animals. Just don't get wet. So what do? We go play at the water. And we would come up with a game. Game was very simple. Who could get to the other side of the stream? of course, without getting wet. Because if you got wet, you got a whooping. And my father did not give idle threats. So what we would do is we would walk on the rocks that were sticking out of the water to try to get across. And we would test the rock, see if it was solid. And then we would get on it. And the water's going by. And we were scared we were going to get a whooping. So we're out there, you know, and there's piranhas in the water, right? Alligators. You know, you kind of make all that stuff up, right? Then you go to another rock. Y'all did this, right? Yeah, don't be acting like y'all girls might have not done it, but the fellas did it, right? Then you go to another rock. Then you're going around, water's going by, you know, bullets are coming by, grenades, and you're on the thing. And you would find rocks that wouldn't move. Are you with me? But every now and then you would step on a rock, and it looked like a secure rock. It was a big rock. It was a dry rock. Looks like it's been there for a while, right? And you would step on it, and it happened to be a big rock sitting on a little rock. And it would do this. And you would fall in the water. And you would fall in the water in slow motion. I'm going to get a whooping. Then you hit the water, and it goes. And whoever wasn't falling in, the other two brothers, you know, me and my brother, whoever, we were like this. And you would fall in the water, and you would get up and just be dripping wet. And you figure, well, I'm wet now. So we would just stay out all day and hopefully dry and not come home. But my point is this. I got a very good point. If you want to get to the other side, you have to step on rocks that are secure. Rocks that won't move. Rocks that are solid. That's what you step on. You don't step on rocks that seem to be solid. That seem to be right. You step on the rocks that won't move. God's word never changes. These are the rocks you put your faith in. My father didn't tell us don't go play by the water. And he didn't tell us we couldn't cross. He told us don't step on shaky rocks. If you step on shaky rocks, you're going to fall. But if you step on the rocks that don't move, you'll never fall. You have to put your faith in the rock that never changes, the word of God. So when you're wondering, how do I treat this girl? What's the Bible say? Do I get high? What's the Bible say? How do I deal with my money? What does the Bible say? What kind of music should I listen to? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Don't come give me your opinion. Don't give someone else your opinion. What does God say? My, if I'm like in my house and I say my kids were going to do this or we're going to do that, my wife or kids will say, did God tell you that? No. Then we're not doing it, Daddy. What did God say? All the decisions you made about your friends, your music, your clothes, your relationship, how you conduct your relationships, how you deal with your money, how you deal with your job, how you run your business, did God tell you all that? If he didn't, you're sinning. Anything done outside of faith is sin, the Bible says. Unless you just happen to by chance, you're doing what this Bible says. You have to know what the Bible says. So faith is always based on facts. It is not based on your feeling. It's not based on your premonition, your perception. It's based on what God says is true because God is not confused about truth. He's not trying to figure truth out. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Now, I was talking to my dad the other day. I said, Dad, how you doing? He's a relatively new Christian. He says, well, I got some questions I'm going to send you. He's reading these books. I said, what are you learning from the books? He says, I'm learning that you just have to trust God. And then he said, I'm learning that you have to put logic aside. I said, Dad, that's true and not true. I said, look, do you treat mommy any different, well, my mother, his wife, any different today than you did 6 months ago? He says, well, yeah, because I've grown. He says, yeah, what was logical to you 6 months ago is not logical to you today because you figured some things out. The Bible accelerates that process and tells you right now what to do. So what you do is you take your logic and you let God's logic become your logic. You still have logic, though. It's just not your logic. It's God's logic. And the Bible says he will renew your mind so you start thinking like him. You put your faith in what this says. So in every area of your life, All you have to know is if you're walking by faith is to ask yourself, what does God say in his word and in his spirit, which will always agree. God will never tell you to do something that contradicts his word, ever, because he can't contradict himself. What does the Bible say about every aspect of my life? People say, I want to grow as a Christian. Well, guess what? Take a piece of paper out and write down all the areas of your life, your social life, your personal life, your professional life, how you spend your free time, your leisure time, and say, do all these areas of my life agree with Scripture? Give you an example. Some of y'all come to church, but then you go out and get high. Well, make up your mind. Ain't that stupid? Come to church, then you go get high. Come to church, then you go have sex. Some of y'all are going to go home tonight and have sex with somebody that you're here with right now. What are you thinking? I mean, how could you do that? I'm going to pray for you that if you do that, that there's a little voice that will come and say, you're in sin. God is watching you right now. Well, who's he think he is? I'm a grown man. You're a grown sinner. It's wrong. It is. Now, unless you're married, forgive me, if you're married, that's a different story. Then, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the unmarried folk, okay? I'm not talking about us married folk. We have the license. A. I'm sorry, write this verse down because I just got caught up. Write Proverbs. Got to throw a verse in there, make it legit. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Write that down next to R. You like that verse, huh? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know what that means? That Bible says that the word of God is what you put your faith in. The word of God is where you get your faith. The word of God. Romans 10, 17. Write that down. Romans 10, 17. You can look it up later. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17 and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the word of God. Lean not on your own understanding. Do not trust your own understanding. Because let me tell you something. God's ways are not your ways. And when you think you should do something, God is going to tell you over and over and over again, I do not want you to do what you think. I want you to do this. And it's going to be totally opposite to what you would think is right. Faith says, yes, sir. Faith says, yes, sir, I don't understand, but I know you're telling me, and I trust you, so I'm going to act. A. Act. Write that down next to A. Act on that reliance. Act on that reliance. Act. Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Act. First, you have to rely on God's word. You have to believe it's true. Place your faith in it. And then you have to act based on what God has told you. James chapter 2, verse 14. Says, if you were in Hebrews, it was the next book. Sorry, I didn't. Some of y'all might have gone back to the beginning. Look at 2 verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Excuse me. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you say you have faith, but your faith is not causing you to do something, your faith is not causing you to repent, The facts say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The facts say that the penalty of sin is death. The facts imply and say that everyone's a sinner and is going to die. One out of every one people die. That's 100% for all of you who are mathematically challenged. Everybody's going to die. The Bible says that if you die, you're going to be eternally separated from God. That's hell. That's the facts. If you have faith in those facts and believe those facts to be true, that Jesus Christ died for your sin and rose from the dead, if you believe that to be true, you have to now act on that belief or you stand condemned and unforgiven. Unless you act on what you believe, then your faith has not done you any good. So therefore, your action needs to be, if I'm a sinner and I'm going to go to hell, I don't want to go to hell. I believe Christ died for my sin. I believe he wants to forgive me. I believe he loves me. I have to therefore act and say, Jesus, please forgive me and fill me with your Holy Spirit and ask and receive his forgiveness. That's what you have to do next. Or you have no faith. You just have knowledge. So if you say, well, I believe I shouldn't have sex, but you have sex, well, then you have knowledge. You have information, but you don't have faith. Faith has to cause you to act. If you don't act, your faith is inactive, inoperative. It's not working. It's dead. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, I'm in line at In-N-Out. I'm going to order number 2, well-done fried onions. You know what I'm saying? I got one person in front of me, okay? Girl, 5'4", 105 pounds. She's a relatively average woman. I think that's average. I don't know. But she's average. And I don't know. Maybe she's 110, maybe 115. I don't know. But there's a line over there with 40 people in it. God says to me, you need to go in that line. My God, I'm not going. I got 40 people in that line. I got one little girl here. She's not going to order, but how much food can she order? She's only 105 pounds. That was the reason I used 105 pounds. How can I go over there? Why do you want me to go over there? I'm here, 20 minutes later, that line got 10 people in it, and I'm still standing behind a little olive oil over here. God says, go in that line. If I believe God's telling me to go in that line, if I have faith, I have to go over here. No matter how long I think it's going to take her to order, no matter how long I think I'm going to stand in that line, that does not matter. My logic says stand here. God's saying, go there. I have to deny myself, lean not on my understanding, my calculation, my statistically inclined, mathematically calculating brain. I have to deny all that, my logic, and say, God, you want me to go over there? Yes, okay. Now, here's a trick. Whatever God's telling you to do, I asked you a question before, how many of y'all are being challenged to do something because of your faith? God's telling you to do something, raise your hand again if you knew what I was talking about. Okay, all y'all people, and a lot of y'all didn't raise your hand a second time because you didn't want to do it, but that's okay. But all y'all know what I'm talking about? Guess what? If you're really going to prove your faith, strengthen your faith, use your faith, the only way you can do it is by getting on this line. It's the only way you can do it. And now, when you go there, you got to step on the right rocks. And if you do it immediately, you'll be like that kid that was running in front of the line. Remember that kid that was jogging? He immediately said, God, yes, sir. Those other girly girls, they're still standing over there, wondering how he got over here quick. Here's the trick. You not only have to act, because faith without works is dead. What the important thing you have to understand is that what you do when you act is not the end of the story. See, the W, what do you think the W means? Huh? Raise your hand so I can just hear one person say something. Yes. Wait, that's good, but that's not the right one. That's good, but that's not the right one. I'm trying to be positive, but tell you that you're wrong at the same time. Yes, sir. Huh? Walk, that's good. That's real good, but that's not the right one. You're gonna rely on God's word. You're going to act, and then you're going to what? Watch. Watch what? He's like, I don't know. Watch what? Tell me, the yellow shirt. God. Watch it. I'm online. God speaks to me. I'm relying on God. I'm going to act. And then I'm going to say, what's God going to do? This is the part that got to fire you up. Because here's why. Fellas. Okay, this is all for all the whether you're married or you got a girlfriend or you ever had a girlfriend or maybe you want a girlfriend, but this will apply. God tells you, because we're prideful, right? Guys, can guys answer? I know girls say, oh yeah, y'all prideful. Guys, we're prideful, right? Yeah, okay. God tells you, you need to say sorry to your woman. You know what I'm talking about? Half hour later, you need to say sorry to your woman. I ain't saying sorry. Next day, your car's broke down on the freeway. God says, you need to say sorry to your woman. And what you're saying in your mind, is that saying sorry is not going to fix the issue. God didn't ask you for your opinion. You're over here. God says, go over there and say sorry. I ain't going over there. Go over there and say, I ain't going. Go over there. Get over there and say sorry. I'm sorry. When you say sorry, as you're in the process of going to say sorry, God is working. When you say sorry, God is working. After you say sorry, God is working. Listen, trust me, this is the part that you have to believe, and this is the part that's going to fire your faith up. What God does in the watch part is infinitely bigger, infinitely more supernatural, infinitely more life-changing than what you do in the act part. Did y'all get that? No, you didn't. I'll say it again. Thank you. What God does, did y'all get that? No, you didn't understand it? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I thought it was simple. Okay. Here's the woman. I'm talking slow. Here's the woman. Okay? What's your name? Okay. This is Mary. Okay? God says, go say sorry to Mary. Okay, watch what I do. I walk. I humble myself. I am sorry, Mary. Mary and I have had issues for years. We're not getting along. We're fighting. We just ain't working out. My action of saying sorry, of walking over here, is simply that. Me saying sorry and walking over here. But what God does as a result of me being obedient, of me exercising faith, what God does is bigger. Example, he changes her heart. He changes my heart. He helps us get along. He breaks down walls of pride, walls of insecurity. Are you following me? God says to you, run your business properly. Well, if I tithe or if I donate or if I do things honest, I'm not going to make as much money. Oh, you may lose, let's say, $100,000, but how God can bless you well over and above that in long-term earnings, in long-term benefits of good employees, in long-term benefits of a peaceful and scandalous, scandal-free business are way bigger than the $100,000 you may save by cheating or the $100,000 you may think you lose by being honest. You may say, God may say to you, do not smoke that cigarette. Oh, God, it's only one cigarette. Do not smoke that one cigarette. It's only one cigarette. Don't drink that beer. It's only one beer. It's not going to be that big a deal. It's not the beer. It's the obedience. And by you not smoking the cigarette, by you not drinking the beer, the infinite benefits, the relationships that God can bring in your life, the eternal blessings that God bring in your life, are way bigger, if you were to add them all up, are way bigger than that one act of you obeying. Is that clearer? Is anybody still not getting it? You have to believe that, because when God tells you to do something, your brain and the devil's going to say, that's not that big a deal. You don't have to do that. No one's going to know. You can cut corners. You don't really have to do. You don't have to get up. It's only 5 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to get up and pray. No one's going to know. Oh, yes. When you obey by faith, God unleashes power in your life that is so much bigger. Because if you think that what you do by faith is the end of it, you're never going to do anything. Because saying sorry to somebody, what good is that going to do? Help an old lady across the street when God tells you to. What good is that going to do? Coming to church 10 minutes early. What good is that going to do? God wants you to come 10 minutes early because there's a person that's going to sit next to you that he has a divine appointment for you to meet that's going to be your next boss. Your next whatever. And you don't know that. Guess what? It's not your job to know that. Tuesday, God told me to do something that I told my wife was going to be the biggest step of faith in my life. And I said, Debbie, God's telling me to do this, and I think it's going to be the biggest step of faith in my life. And he told me to say something to somebody, which in effect was going to be to give something up that I wanted. It's a long story, and I can't get into details. But when I went to that person, I said I was going to let that person talk first. And after they spoke, I was going to say what I had to say. When they spoke, they gave me something that made my offer not necessary. God says, I already hooked you up. So I hope that wasn't real complicated to you, but you know, my point is this. When I went in the room, I was already willing to give it up, and God said, I just wanted to see if you're willing to give it up. And he turned the whole situation around. And what God did was so much bigger than what I was going to do. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, they walked up onto a mountain. Isaac, his son, had the wood on his back. And Isaac, his son, said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham went, he didn't say that, but he was like, just keep walking. He laid him on the altar, took the knife up, and right as he started to kill his son, God said, stop. I said, I just wanted to see what you're going to do. You have to obey. And you have to believe what God's going to do is infinitely bigger and better. And you have no idea. He may tell you to do something, and you have no idea why. It has nothing to do with anything you're praying about. It doesn't matter. You do it. You do it. And I could tell you, I couldn't even count them, the times that God would tell me, do this, go here, go here, go here. And all of a sudden, all this stuff happens. I start meeting people, opportunities come up, people get saved, stuff happens, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, just from sitting in that seat, just from taking that plane instead of that plane. Turn to Joshua chapter 3 real quick. Joshua 3. In the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. The facts are you need Christ. Action is that you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You must voluntarily ask God to forgive you. You must voluntarily ask God to fill you with his spirit. And what God does after you say a simple prayer, he changes your life. He forgives your sin. He secures you for heaven. He gives you eternal purpose. What God does after you say your prayer is so much bigger and eternal and better than you saying that prayer. You take a baby step and God blows it up to a marathon. That's the point. And so whenever God challenges you to do something, you have to believe, okay, I'm going to do my part, but when God does his part, it's going to be bigger and better than my part. Are you with me? Joshua 3 is one of my favorite stories. Joshua 3, the fifth book in the Bible, verse 5, it says, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 7, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that this is, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord our God. So the word of God, what he's saying is what they're going to trust in. Those are the rocks. That's what we rely on, God's word. Verse 10. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will not without fail drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Muscatites. Verse 11, behold, Verse 11, behold, the ark of the Lord and all the earth is crossing over before you. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. Now, here's what they're going. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan. Moses is dead. They walk 40 years in the wilderness. They see miracles. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land. Are you with me? And he says to them, verse 13, watch this. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as their souls shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, that the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand in a heap. Look what he said. Here's the word that you trust in. Go put your feet in the water. That's the commandment. Their action, all they had to do was do this. That's all they had to do. Simple, right? We can all do that, right? And he says, as soon as your souls go in the water, I'm going to stop the river and put it up in a heap. Now, their action was doing this. God's action was he put an invisible dam and stopped the whole river. God's action was bigger than their action. Are you with me? God's action was supernatural. Their action was natural. Are you with me? What we want all the time is we want God, you stop the water first. Then I'll think about going through. Are you with me? God didn't ask him to go blah, 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 drowning in the water for 5 hours blah, 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 and then he would stop it. He said, all you got to do is put your feet in it. I mean, even if you can't swim, that can't scare you. And so many of us want, okay, God, if you stop the water, then I'll go. And probably at that time, I'm going to run through because I think you're going to change your mind. How many of you, raise your hand, how many of you have been so blessed, it's going so good at times, you think God's going to get you. And you start, oh, this can't last forever. And raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You know what you're telling God? God, you're not really that good. You just must be a fluke. You insult God. That's an insult to God. That means you think God sets you up. God don't want to set you up. He wants to love you. Be blessed. I got saved in 1984. I've been ridiculously blessed the whole time. Have I had ups and downs? Have I had times where I was depressed, discouraged, guilty, wanting to die? Oh, yeah. All that. Feeling like a failure? All that. But has it been ridiculously amazing the whole time? Oh, yeah. Because those times are when I'm walking away from God, or when I'm not trusting God, or when I'm not focused on him. It's when I'm focused on me, when I'm focused on how I'm going to do it. But when I look at him doing it, oh, man, nothing's impossible. Here's what you need to do. All you need to do, step in the water and just watch what God does. And when God gives you an opportunity to walk in the water, you need to jump at that opportunity because you want to see God go. For the other day, Tuesday, he said, go say this. I was like, this is crazy. But I know you're telling me. I couldn't wait to go tell him. And then he said, you don't need to say it. And he went. I was so excited. I was sitting in the chair. I was like this. What? What? And he was like, blah, blah, blah. I was like, what? Because I was watching God go. And God was in the back going, I'm the man, huh? I'm the man. I was like, you the man, God. You the man. When you rely on the facts that you're a sinner, when you rely on the facts that you need Jesus every day, when you rely on the facts that without him you're going to never be happy, never be able to fight the devil. And when you act and you say, Lord, please forgive me my sin. When you act and you say, Lord, please cleanse me. When you act, say, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. What God does after that is immeasurable. He forgives you. He takes your sin and separates it as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. He brings godly people into your life. He gives you the wisdom and discernment to know godly from ungodly. He gives you the courage and the strength to do things you couldn't do before. He sets you free from stuff, issues. That all stuff is way bigger than just saying a simple prayer, which is what you do. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is trust. All you got to do is take these little baby steps. Go from this line over here to this line over here, walk on the right rocks, and God does all this amazing stuff. Next thing you know, your life is so different. But you have to keep your eyes focused on him. And right now, in a few minutes, some of y'all need to say, Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want you to do that amazing thing in my life today. But no one can do it for you. You could decide, yes, I'm going to go out of here and be a sinner and do my own thing. Or you know what? I'm going to act. And I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And I'm going to receive his forgiveness. And I'm going to receive his new life with an open heart. That's your decision. No one can make you do that. So let's all right now bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward who are going to give us the communion tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you so much that your word is reliable, the best thing for us to trust in because it never changes. There are people here tonight who need to accept you as their Savior. They need to allow you to forgive them of their sin. If you realize that that's you, that you need God to forgive you and cleanse you, pray this prayer with me. You must believe these things to be true. You must have faith that he loves you, that he died and rose from the dead. In the privacy of your heart, if you would like God to forgive you of your sin once and for all, in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. But I believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please cleanse me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender my life to you, and I receive from you salvation right now. I receive forgiveness. I receive a new life right now. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, just slip your hand up real high. We can see you. If you took a step of faith, God bless you, 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 God bless you. Very high, all the way up. Very good. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Good. Good. Okay, you can put your hands down. Lord, thank you for those people. Lord, I pray as we take communion, we are reminded what you did for us, and we are reminded how you require full commitment. May we be fully committed. In Jesus' name, amen.